T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
He's an NFL writer and draft analyst, and a damn good one, for Yahoo Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Eric_Edholm. It's Eric Edholm with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Eric, good morning, and thank you for your time. Biggest surprise on night one. We were doing a draft show here, and it was wild with some of the trades. What caught you off guard?
Well, I think the one prediction I nailed, I said, look, it's going to be exciting early. There may be a little lull in the middle. And then I think towards the end of round one, we're going to have some more excitement. So I think I nailed that part. I didn't exactly predict the Bears flipping with your guys there at two. And, you know, it was a stunning first move. I didn't necessarily see it coming. I thought the Bears, I knew they liked Trubisky. They'd done a ton of work on him. They tried to play it coy and not bring him in for a visit and all that. So that to me kind of was the tone setter there. A real shocking move for Chicago and a terrific first foray for John Lynch and company.
It was exciting to say the least, and Mitchell Trubisky, to his part, said he had no contact with Chicago. How much do you think that move was one of desperation, or were they really calculatingly trying to get this player?
Yeah, they wanted him. You know, I think there are other people who said, hey, they might take a corner, Marshawn Lattimore or somebody. They've had about 700 soft tissue injuries the last couple of years. I don't think Lattimore was legitimately an option. I don't think they saw Solomon Thomas as a perfect fit. You know, he's a Chicago kid. They need help on defense. It would have made a lot of sense. But, you know, I think their options were kind of limited. And I don't think they felt comfortable sort of hoping that they could sort of pick up DeShone Kizer in round two or somebody like that. And they just said, we're not waiting around. You know, that was Ryan Pace's quote. I didn't want to be sitting around waiting. So, you know, he just felt like got to move up and get him. They liked him. We knew they liked him. I don't think we knew they quite liked him that much, though. That was a little bit of a shock to me.
Were you surprised that Conley, despite the allegations, found his way into the first round and more specifically with the Oakland Raiders?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I shouldn't be stunned, but it was a little surprising to me. For me, that's a big risk. And it'd be one thing if, like, there was a crazy run on cornerbacks just prior to that, and you felt like, you know what, he's such a good fit. We've done our legwork the last 72 hours or whatever. We feel comfortable with it. But, you know, there's still that risk. Charges still could be brought at some point. There is that concern. I mean, I had not heard of any character concerns on Conley, anything that was really too worrisome before that. So maybe they felt like, hey, we believe his story, that this was an opportunistic situation. It was consensual. You know, whatever the story was that he's saying happened, the Raiders might have done their work and said, okay, we're doing it this way. I mean, Reggie McKenzie's been a gambler lately. It has worked out. The draft has been so huge for them. And I think they felt like, look, we are a Super Bowl team with a healthy Derek Carr. Let's go get that corner we need. The one thing I say is he's a little Sean Smith-ish. I mean, there's maybe a little overlap there skill-wise.
Going back to Trubisky and what they decided to do in Chicago, you think that Chicago saying this guy is going to sit for a year, that's why we wanted to jump up and take him, because we did get a quarterback in free agency? Because it's just after 13 games and looking at some of the reads and the progressions that this young man goes through, doesn't seem like he's NFL ready. So is this a direct correlation to say, look, we have Glennon that's going to hold it down for at least a year for sure?
That's the thinking, I think. And you know, I mean, you know, we knew Mike Glennon was not going to be paid the entire, you know, full length of his contract. We didn't know that. But we suspected, okay, they're gonna buttress this with a quarterback pick. I just didn't necessarily think it would be with the second choice in the draft. And so that's where my confusion kind of comes in a little. But, yeah, I think he'll come in and learn the system and all that stuff, get some chemistry with the receivers and figure out what they want to do offensively. But, you know, if they don't win some games this year, I mean, John Fox is out, and he's like learning a new offense next year. And then maybe that means the new coordinator says, all right, I'm building around Trubisky, and it ends up being a zero-sum game. But you know, it's a worry. And think about it. Mike Glennon hasn't started very many games in recent years. Trubisky has 13 college starts in the last three seasons. Mark Sanchez, the number three, we haven't seen him much lately. So that the level of playing experience, on-field experience for their three quarterbacks has to be less than any team, maybe other than the Browns.
NFL writer and draft analyst for Yahoo Sports, Eric Edholm with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Did John Lynch and the Niners do as well as the media and the fans believe they did last night between the trades and the acquisitions of Solomon Thomas and Reuben Foster?
Yeah, I mean, as much as I'd love to be contrarian and give you guys someone to beat up on or something, I loved it. I mean, I think you got two of the six or seven best pure football players in the draft. Solomon Thomas is believed to be, you know, a very high character guy, a hard worker. I saw his motor fluctuate a little more than other people. I mean, everyone said, oh, he's this super high motor guy. There were plays he took off. You know, watch the bowl game and watch, you know, a few other spots. But he's so young and he's still ascending. And if you can put him in that Michael Bennett role in that Seattle-style defense, he could really flourish. I don't think he's ever going to be a Bennett-like pass rusher. But, man, the floor is high and the ceiling is high as far as I'm concerned. With Foster, to me, it's all about managing his health and managing the guy who's had a rough upbringing. We know the story, you know. I mean, he's had a lot of crazy things happen in his life. And I think he was very, very well insulated in Tuscaloosa. Could be a different story in the NFL, the distractions, all that come with it. I like the guy, and I want to see him succeed. And I think, you know, Johnny Holland and, you know, the rest of that defensive staff is going to have, you know, they're going to have a lot of work with him. But, man, what a talent. What a player he is.
How eager do you think the 49ers will be to look for a quarterback either today or at some point before this draft cycle ends?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's certainly on their list. But, I mean, I also don't think you have to just panic and take somebody just for the heck of taking it. I mean, you have to like him and feel like, okay, this is somebody who could thrive in Kyle's system. Maybe not year one, maybe not even year two. So the fit's got to be there. You don't take a QB just to take one, I don't think. So that's the beautiful thing. I mean, both these guys have six-year deals. There's no need to just step on the gas and say we've got to get everything done on our list this year, this draft, whatever. They can go corner. They can go pass rusher. They can go, you know, O-line. They can go a number of different directions. I'm just excited to see, you know, wide receiver. I'm excited to see what their plan is to back up what I think were, you know, two potentially great hits in round one.
Eric, as we move forward into day two, who do you see as some of the top prospects on the board? And the natural follow-up to that's going to be, how long will Oklahoma running back Joe Mixon last?
Yeah, I think Mixon and Cook are two fascinating ones. You know, I kind of made the mistake of mocking Cook to Tampa in round one. Made some calls after that. Isn't that the worst? You make a mock draft, and then you talk to somebody after, and they're going, no, that's probably not going to happen.
Oh,
I know.
Worst.
It's a terrible feeling, and then, you know, you're out there, you're exposed. But I think Tampa's concerned about the you know, Cook being a little too close to home, you know, being around some of those FSU guys and some of his school buddies and such, and I just don't see that connection. Now, could they go Mixon? Yeah, they could. I think Cincinnati, Indianapolis, Philadelphia, Minnesota. I think somewhere in mid-round two, that's my best guess, is where Joe Mixon is going to go off the board. Cook, all bets are off. I really don't know. I haven't had a clear spot as to where he'll go, but I think he's a heck of a football player. You keep him – if he goes to, let's say, Green Bay, you know, I mean, I could see it working really well. And then the distractions may not be as big up there. Kaiser from Notre Dame, obviously the quarterback. You know, Green Bay is fielding calls right now, and I think they'll try to get the best trade-up offer for number 33.
What do you think about the prospects of California quarterback Davis Webb?
You know, I've been really kind of ambivalent on him. I mean, I love talking to him. You know, he's so confident. He's a smart guy. He clearly wants to be great. You know, he's got the kind of the football coursing through his veins and all that. You know, I think it burns him a little bit that he's probably watching Mahomes and, you know, the guy who beat him out of Texas Tech, in essence, you know, go where he went. And I think he feels like, hey, I've got as much physical talent as this guy does. And so you love that about him. But you also, I mean, again, I'm not a scout, but I've watched the games, and I know there's some deficiencies in what he does. And so I think he is on the list of about four or five teams, maybe three or four, I don't know, but a handful of teams that probably like him early in day two, and we'll kind of plot, do we need to move up? Can we stay put in, you know, with the 50th pick or whatever? Can we stay in the middle of round two and still get him? That's probably the debate that's going on right now with NFL teams.
NFL writer and draft analyst for Yahoo Sports. Follow him on Twitter at Eric_Edholm. It's Eric Edholm with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Eric, thank you for your time this morning. We know you're busy. We look forward to catching up again soon.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.